Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on AWFradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome back to the show, Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find them online at columbusconstruction.org. Day after the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day to you, Dorsey.
Happy Independence Day to you. We finally got some dry weather with a little bit of sun, no more rain. So Columbus went from Seattle to Orlando in just a few hours. So
really nice. Yeah, it's been really, really crazy. And I'll tell you, Columbus is on fire with a lot of growth. And what did you tell me? This was a couple of months ago. We're at like 14th or 15th in the nation with regard to population now.
Just past San Francisco, we're now 13th. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah, 13th largest city. So the estimate here is that in the Central Ohio market, which is outside of Franklin County and obviously outside of Columbus, but they're looking at we could grow by another million people in the next 30 years.
And what is it? What's driving that growth right now?
So I think it's a couple of things, and the first one is going to be my personal opinion, nothing that I've read, and the second one will be what a lot of other people are saying. So first of all, we have a lot of great colleges and universities here. We have Ohio State, we have Capital, we have Otterbein, we have Ohio Wesleyan up the road in Delaware, we have Denison to the east, and we also have Columbus State, which is a great two-year school. And I think Columbus State, I met with Dr. Harrison a couple weeks ago. And don't quote me on this, but I think that he said this is the largest enrollment they've ever had. And I think they're right around 42,000 students, which makes it the second largest university in the state of Ohio behind Ohio State University.
Oh,
so
my.
In my opinion, a lot of these kids and a lot of these young adults that are graduating, they would go to Chicago. They would go to D.C. maybe to get a job in politics. And I know that my intern did that. She graduated from Ohio State, political science degree, went to D.C. And I get that. I understood it. But then after 3 or 4 months, she, like many others, was like, boy, this is pretty expensive here. And there's a lot of people here. I don't know how I really feel about this. Then they come back to Columbus. You're still working in politics. You're in the capital city of the state of Ohio. And it's a lot cheaper to live. And there's a lot of amenities here that make Columbus, even though it's a large city, kind of a small town. You know, we have Major League Soccer. We have NHL, you know, with the Blue Jackets, which is great. But we also have the AAA affiliate, the Clippers of the Indians, AAA farm team, which is great. You know, all the Ohio State sports and just everything that's going on. I think it makes Columbus a very attractive place to be. And that's why I think a lot of people that are graduating are staying here. And then what a lot of people are saying in the paper and stuff is that people are coming to Columbus because of the affordability of living, which is one thing I mentioned why students are staying. Also, they're coming to Columbus because of the low unemployment, and also because it seems like in the last 50 years, the city of Columbus, because of the diversity in industry and stuff, you know, we have political, we have governmental, you know, we have all the large universities, we have you know, we're not solely focused on one thing like auto plants or factories or stuff like that. So there's a very diverse economy here, which has made us kind of recession proof in the last 50 years and kept unemployment down. I think that's another reason why people are attracted to Columbus for the opportunities.
Let me ask you this. If there's one thing as far as an occupation that is, I guess, primary to Columbus, what would that be? I mean, like Cleveland, for instance. Cleveland is still, I think it's stuck. Well, it's gravitated more toward healthcare now because of the clinic in UH, but it used to be a steel town, used to be an auto town.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people still feel that it is that way. What would Columbus be right now?
I think Columbus would be large. A large part would be healthcare right now. You know, we've talked on your show. They broke ground on the OSU Medical Center, a second tower. It's going to be about a $2 billion project. I'm hearing, you know, and I don't know because I'm not in the healthcare field, but I'm hearing that the other OSU Medical Center, it's a constant challenge to keep doctors and nurses, that they're always running short on doctors and nurses. So there's ample opportunities in the healthcare. So you have Children's Hospital, which is growing and adding on. You have Mount Carmel Grove City and Mount Carmel East, which are large facilities. And then you have all the facilities at OSU. So I think healthcare is a big part of it. Plus, you know, we have an aging population like a lot of older, a lot of other cities. So that's a big thing. The other thing, and again, going back to my conversation with Dr. Harrison in Columbus State a couple weeks ago, He wouldn't mention who, but I could imagine it was probably Facebook, Google, City, some of those. With all the data centers and all the IT, Amazon, and all that going on here in Columbus, there's a premium on IT people. And it's like they said to Dr. Harrison, you know, it's great that kids are going to Ohio State and getting four-year degrees, but we don't need those kids. We need the kids with the two-year computer science degrees that can actually sit down, write code, work on computers, keep these IT systems running and moving. Those are the kids that we need, and those are who we have to produce, or we're going to have a shortage pretty soon. And, you know, a lot of those jobs start off around $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year and pay upwards of $80,000 a year with a full benefit package. So it's not bad if you have a kid that's in high school, or maybe even a kid that's in middle school that's interested in computers, go to Columbus State, get a two-year degree for a lot less than what they could get a four-year degree.
Oh, yeah.
And come out in the IT industry. And I spoke about this about 3 years ago at a workforce development roundtable that I sat on that was mostly building trades people, and somebody in the audience who was not a building trades person, which is fine, they said, well, what do you care about the IT industry? You should be concerned with welders and plumbers and electricians. And I'm like, really? I'm like, if we quit or if we have a shortage of IT people or quit producing them, I said, do you think that the Amazons and the Facebooks and the Googles and the Cities and the Chase Banks are going to continue to come here and build data centers? No, you got to have the people to work in them.
Yep.
So got to address it all. Got to address it all. There's lots of opportunities there.
And
for young people, and I think they're seeing that.
And to your point, too, you could do this in a two-year program. So you're not going to be saddled with, you know, the average student debt today is like $30,000. And that,
oh, yeah,
that's low for some families. But that being said, you could probably get by, and I'm sure with some assistance, it wouldn't break the bank. Let me put it that way. That's good stuff. Well, we're off subject a little bit. I know every time I throw something at you, I know I'm going to get a good answer.
I love it.
But I tell you, there's a lot of people here in Northeastern Ohio that are hearing about what's going on down in Columbus. I mean, it's only 2 hours away, and it's amazing. And I tell you, what happens in Columbus helps the entire state of Ohio. It's good. It's certainly good news. Let's get into this neutrality agreement. I want to get into the Columbus Convention Center, and obviously that's a mecca for more job opportunities there. What's going on there?
So we've talked about Columbus City Council and how, you know, they're really got some great pro-labor people there. Council President Shannon Harden, Liz Brown, Emmanuel Remy, Shayla Favors, newly appointed. We've had a couple, three meetings. We've been talking about some of the staples of organized labor, you know, right to work, prevailing wage, fair contracting, stuff like that. And she's a very smart person. She came out of the city attorney's office. She gets it. But then, you know, we worked for a couple of years and had the opportunity and was successful to get Rob Dorns appointed to city council. And being from labor, you know, his father, he's the grandson of a pipe fitter and the son of a IBW member, and he's an IBW member himself, and he works for ACT Ohio and deals with labor issues all around the state. You know, he brings a unique perspective to city council, and he and Liz and Emmanuel and the others have really been working hard on, you know, we talk about the growth in the city, but also how to increase wages, how to bring better paying jobs here. So at the time that Rob was appointed, there had been an economic development plan and a memorandum of understanding for financing put forth by the city, by the county, with the Franklin County Convention Board for the expansion of the Hilton Hotel. It's going to add over 400 rooms, make it a 1,000-seat property, help the city to where we could attract larger conferences and larger conventions and put us more on a pace where we could compete with Las Vegas, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Diego, Orlando, whereas right now we're competing with the Charlottes and the Pittsburghs and the St. Louis's and the Boston. So it's going to be good for the city. So Rob got appointed to city council. He's looking through this, and he says, you know, he says, there's a way that we can make these very good union jobs at the Hilton Hotel. And, of course, city council was interested, and they said, well, how do we do that? And he goes, we enter in to the memorandum of understanding, and, of course, the FCCFA board, Franklin County Convention Authority, will have to approve it. He's like, but we can put in here a neutrality agreement to where the Hilton will not fight any efforts to organize the labor force there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, this is great. This is cool. This is awesome. So from my understanding, they went to Don Brown at the FCCFA. He was on board, thought it was a good idea. He says, all we got to do is take it to our board and vote on it. So, you know, city council was like, cool. You know, this is a request from the city. This is a request from the electeds on city council. That enough should have been that should have been enough to move the ball down the field. That should have been it. They have the vote. Only one person on the committee votes to put the neutrality agreement into the financing plan. That was Rodney French, who's appointed by Mayor Ginther. He's the business manager for the sheet metal workers. He sits on my executive board. Everybody else on the board either abstained or voted against it. So, of course, Mark Fluharty, who heads the Central Labor Council here, that set his hair on fire, as well as Liz, Emanuel, and Rob. So Liz, Emanuel, and Rob immediately go and they meet with Don Brown. Don Brown kind of turns the tables on him and says, well, hey, don't blame me. You know, I brought it to the board. You all didn't whip your votes. You didn't do your due diligence. So, you know, obviously the next time an issue with labor comes in front of the board, I think Don Brown's going to see the power of labor, maybe that he will not want to see. But also in that meeting, I guess a comment was made to city council, which probably wasn't very smart, especially as one of the people is a member of a labor union, IBEW, and Liz is a former member of a labor union, has strong labor ties, the daughter of Sherry Brown. Sally Bloomfield, who chairs the committee, made the comment that, well, labor is just not as relevant as they were 50 years ago.
Oh, no.
Now, she's kind of walking that comment back a little bit. She reached out to me. Obviously, the Hilton Hotel, the construction, I'm very concerned with, but I'd also like to see a union hotel in the city as well. And what I told Sally and what I told people that I sat with on the board, because I was on that board for 2 years, I served at the pleasure of Mayor Ginther, is I said, listen, I said, the city of Columbus has no conventions that are union related. I said, I go to conferences all around North America. You know, I've been to Edmonton, Canada. I've been to Vegas. I've been to San Diego. I've been to Boston, been to DC. Those conferences that I attend, we cannot have here. Our internationals cannot have those here because we do not have a union hotel, and we're not going to solicit and contribute to a hotel who doesn't pay their members or their employees a fair wage with benefits. We're not going to do it. I said, so you guys are missing out on a huge portion of business. And I don't think a lot of them understood it. And I think they were under the pretense, the board, that it would, you know, make the cost of doing business for the Hilton more expensive, which would increase the bonding level. We reached out to Megan Kilgore, who's Columbus City auditor. She said, absolutely, that's not the case. If anything, this deal is going to be less expensive than before, even with the neutrality agreement, because bond rates have been going down because the economy's doing better.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, again, Mark Fluharty from the Central Labor Council is upset. I reached out to him, Sally Bloomfield as well, because I think she's walking her comments a little bit back. And, you know, he was pretty upset, didn't want to talk to her, didn't return her calls. But I guess they do have a lunch meeting set now. They're going to sit down and talk. I think the only resolution is that the FCCFA board revisit this and enter this neutrality agreement. Because, again, it doesn't mean the Hilton's going to be union. Doesn't mean they're going to be non-union. It just means that they're going to be open to talking to the different unions in Columbus that represent some of those hotel workers like SEIU, maybe AFSCME,
right,
and give them the opportunity to represent them to make that a union hotel. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I hope everything, you know, is resolved, because my fear is this. This is my greatest fear. Obviously, you know, we build things here in Columbus. We want to see the economy doing well, but we also want to bring jobs here that are good jobs, you know, and we've talked about that on your show. My fear is that in August, one of the largest conventions that the city of Columbus has ever hosted, it's called the ASE Convention. It's a convention of professionals from all over North America. So for Columbus, this is going to be the largest thing that we've ever hosted. I mean, we've put our bids in for the Democratic and Republican convention. We talked about this a couple years ago. Cleveland got the Republican. We're never going to have a Super Bowl because we don't have the stadium. We don't have the dome. We're never going to have a men's Final Four because we don't have a dome for the seating. We've had the women's Final Four. We've had the NHL All-Star Game. This ASE convention is going to put us on that level playing field, again, with the Vegases, the Chicagos, the Orlandos, the LAs. My fear is that labor here is so upset with the way that the FCCFA and their board botched this, that I can see demonstrations being done at that ASE conference and convention in August when that's here.
Oh boy.
And if you remember, Philadelphia almost lost the Democratic National Convention because of the issue with the bus drivers and the teachers, and I'd hate to see that happen here in Columbus. So I hope that some people on the FCCFA board can take this seriously. You know, it was a recommendation of city council, and they can look at approving this and getting this done before, you know, anything else happens.
It's hard to believe that they let this almost slip through their fingers, pretty much. That's so sad, just so sad.
Well, it is. And the unfortunate thing is, and this is a much larger conversation for another time, and this is the conversation that I'm going to have with people that I served with on that board, is that you're appointed to that board by the county commissioners or the mayor of the city of Columbus. And city council goes forward and kind of approves the mayor's recommendations to that board. So you serve, when I was on that board, I served at the pleasure of the mayor. Was there times that votes came forward that I was conflicted? Absolutely. But I was there and I served at the pleasure of the mayor for the betterment of the city and the community. I reached out to either the mayor or his staff and I said, hey, this is coming up. this is where I'm at. What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that's what I was there for. And I think it's unfortunate that there's a lot of people on that board. Many have been there for a very, very long time that, again, serve at the pleasure of the mayor or serve at the pleasure of the county commissioners that would go against some of their wishes. And I know that a lot of our pro-labor friends on city council are going to make this known as these appointments come forward in the future.
They have to. They really have to. And yeah. again, Dorsey, yeah. we're talking about being neutral. We're not swaying.
Neutral, this. Exactly.
Yeah, we're not exactly. saying you got to go union. Although, you know, I can say that. I would love to say that. You would love to say that. But it's like, cut the crap. Just be neutral in this whole thing and let the workers decide what they want to do. That's all we're saying.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's the basic fundamentals of a neutrality agreement. That's exactly it.
All right, I got to take a break. I'm getting all fired up here.
Sorry about that. Dorsey, not good for the day after the 4th. Fireworks and then get flash fired up all within 48 hours.
Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, will continue the conversation with him. Also, later in the broadcast, for our Mother Jones segment, we're passing on Mother Jones and going to Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. He's got some interesting things happening in his state. Some of them good, some of them not so good. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. Don't forget we archive everything on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, the website is columbusconstruction.org. BuildCentralOH is a Twitter handle. All right, we got a couple things we want to talk about. This happened just about a week and a half ago, an organizing committee outreach event. Talk to me about that one, Dorsey.
So in the short north, just south of campus, just north of downtown, there's a ton of development going on there. Condos, mixed-use condos, apartments, residential, you know, there's some restaurant stuff like that, but there is a ton. I couldn't even fathom to think of how many construction workers and building trades people are working in that area. Some of them are union, some of them are not union. So basically, myself, Scott Emmerich, who's the organizer of the Insulators, and Mike Emberg, who does research for LIUNA, Laborers International here in Ohio, we came up with the idea, and we've done one of these about once, sometimes twice a year. We usually focus on a particular job site, but we came up with the idea to do a labor outreach event in the short north. We plastered all the job sites, all the parking garages, all the side streets, the cars, with our flyers. And basically what we're doing is we're letting people know that are working in construction or the building trades industry that if they are underemployed, that there's an opportunity there for them to come in the building trades. Another thing that we're doing is we're letting these people that are working in the industry that are either underemployed or not working union, or maybe our members that are working union, we're giving them this free lunch and talking to them about some of the issues, prevailing wage, right to work and stuff, but also talking to them about our apprenticeship programs and pre-apprenticeship programs in case they have sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, maybe even grandkids that are interested in getting into the building trades program. So it gives us an opportunity to give people a free lunch, show us our appreciation for all the hard work they're doing down at the Short North on all these different job sites, but also gives us an opportunity to reach out, have an audience that's attentive, let them know what the building trades is doing in the community, educate them on some of the issues here in the state of Ohio, and also do outreach to try to get more people into our programs, because obviously we're in need of people. We need people in all the trades right now. We're looking for anybody who wants to come in, and we're also looking to raise the wages and benefits of the people that are out there that are underemployed. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Pathway to the middle class. You said it many times on the show, and it can't be any more accurate than saying that, because some of these trades, in fact, we just had the sheet metal workers on a couple of weeks ago, and some of those guys are making well over six figures right now because of what you just said. The demand is out there, and it's going to continue for years to come, from what I understand.
Absolutely. It's the economy keeps getting better. People keep doing building. These large companies that put maintenance off when the bond rates were high, bond rates are low. They're starting to do some of these maintenance and upkeep now. So looks like things are going to be good for a time to come. So we got to continue to grow and expand and give people the opportunity to get on that path to the middle class, like you said.
All right, one more here, Labor Night's events, and this is July 13th with the Columbus Clippers, and then I guess there's one.
The AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians, that's right. July 13th, the Clippers. What a great time, and Ken Schnacki's the general manager here. He loves Labor Night. We bring out about 10,000 labor members to cheer the Clippers on, so that's awesome. So, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you were going to say August 3rd, we're doing the MMA Fight Nights with Troy Speakman.
Nice.
That'll be great. The Building Trades logo will be on the ring apron. Hopefully nobody gets anything on the logo. If they go down, they go down somewhere else so they don't cover the logo. Guys are looking forward to that. And a special union member rate, 20 bucks, get you ringside seats. It's outdoor at Promo West Pavilion down in the arena district. That'll be awesome. And then one thing that we're doing that Mark Fluharty, who's new at the Central Labor Council, he and I have talked about for a couple years. We've kind of never really gotten it done. But this year, with the help of Randy Quickle at the UFCW, we're going to host a candidates night on October 9th. For labor members, where they can come, eat pizza, brats, have a beverage, maybe even an adult beverage with some of our electeds or some of the candidates that are running for office that we've endorsed. We'll give each candidate or elected 2 to 3 minutes to speak, say who they are and everything. Then they can kind of mingle around with the union members and hang out. So we're really excited. It looks like it's going to be a great event. It's really starting to come together. Of course, you know, we don't want to wish our summer away. We want to do the Clipper Night on the 13th and the MMA fights on the 3rd of August. But then summer will be gone, and we'll be gearing up for the election to try to help get our friends of labor that are sitting in these municipal seats and running for these judges, try to get them elected. So
a lot of municipal elections happening this year, and that's how it works in muni elections in the odd years. And of course, you got 2020. You've got to be freaking out already about 2020 with all the candidates in place right now.
It's crazy. I mean, the State House, the Senate, I'm already hearing of people jockeying and positioning. And then, you know, there's going to be a lot of judgeships up next year that's going to be interesting here in Franklin County. Obviously, you know, last week the presidential debate started, so we'll see who kind of separates himself from the pack on that. And all this stuff is extremely important, extremely important.
Let me tell you this, Dorsey. You mentioned the individual that said something about labor not as relevant as it used to be. All right. You talked about mm-hmm. that in the first segment. An individual like that who is in elected office often comes to labor for an endorsement. Maybe you should just continue that conversation with them about the relevancy
Absolutely.
Of labor when they ask for your vote and your support and perhaps a contribution. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. And that's the thing. I mean, this whole conversation about the neutrality agreement convention center came up in screening when three of these four city council members came down to screen. And obviously we knew where all these city council people were on right to work, prevailing wage, project labor agreements, fair contracting. So we started off, we were like, hey, this neutrality agreement, why couldn't we get this done? And then they started telling us about some of the barriers and the conversations and the follow-up meetings they had. And it was like, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, we've got to change the face of that board. That's the only way to go about it. I don't know if you'll be able to change the thinking of some of those members, and if you can't change the thinking, then you got to change the face. And
there you go.
That's our goal in labor, to make Columbus more progressive, more union friendly, more labor friendly, so we continue to grow,
which is where the American people are right now. They're very progressive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're just reflecting the populace. That's all you're doing. All right, Dorsey, we're going to leave it on that note. I'll let you get back to your holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you in a month, all right?
Sounds good. I just wanted to let you know I was in Cleveland a couple weeks ago. Got to see the Tribe and the Royals. Great time as always. It looks like they're getting hot at the right time. Let's get Clevinger and Klubot back and healthy and solidify that rotation. See if, you know, they're pretty solid in the wild card hunt, but see if they can make a serious run at that division. You know, they keep catching inching up and inching closer to the Twins, which is going to be a tough lift, but got plenty of time to do it. So hopefully in August we'll be talking about a pennant race.
There you go, my friend.
Talk.
I like that. All right, Dorsey, you take care.
All right, you too, Flash. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Again, find him online at columbusconstruction.org.